few weeks ago, we honored our mothers on Mother's Day. Today is Father's Day, and we want to honor our fathers. And because of that, I'm digressing from the Sermon on the Mount today, and I invite you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, and we begin our reading at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is a great passage in the Old Testament. It deals with the translation of Elijah the prophet to glory, and the expression of Elisha the prophet when he saw Elijah taken to heaven in a whirlwind. Verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they too went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over in dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of reading your precious word. We thank you for fathers. For you, Father, have revealed Christ to our hearts, and Christ has revealed thee to us. He could say, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many abiding places. Oh, we thank you, our Father, that you've given us fathers. Fathers that we can trust and enjoy, have great memories about. And now as we study this portion of thy word, give us something today that will enable each of us to enjoy earthly fathers, but especially thee, our heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Today is Father's Day, and of course we honor fathers, and rightly so. I noticed the following in Reader's Digest. a child, she was a daughter, she noticed she had a gray hair. And she took that gray hair, the first one she found, and she taped it to a letter that she wrote to her parents. And she said to them, "You saw my first steps. You observed them. You might want to experience this too." So her father, he responded with a letter to her, and he called it a sonnet to a hair. And he said, "It's a trustworthy observation that nothing can compare in the process of aging with finding the first gray hair." And then he added a P.S. to it. He said, "That gray hair you sent us is not the first one you gave us." So it is really fitting that we honor our fathers. And I'm sure I gave my father many gray hairs. And I think that if you're honest, you probably gave yours some as well. You see, as we turn to the Word of God and we think of fathers, God has much instruction in His Word for fathers, because God has placed the father. He's put him in a place of responsibility in the home and toward the family. Now, when we come to the story that we read from 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha was not the son of Elijah. Now, their names are very familiar, but it was not father and son. But Elijah was the mentor of Elisha. And it's because of this that Elisha regarded Elijah, that great prophet of God, as his father. And when he saw him going into heaven, he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And it is from his father that he received such great instruction. Now, it's wonderful to be a father and not know it. There's a young man in our experience for both my wife and myself. You all know him. He's been here. Richard Barlow is a great pianist. And Richard's father died when he was 16. Richard lived in Baltimore. And Phyllis stayed in their home one night. We were involved in a wedding when Richard's father still lived. He's a great man of God. But Richard was 16 when his dad died. He really missed him. He had two sisters and a brother who were younger. And Richard took the responsibility of the family. I met Richard, and we became acquainted at Greenwood Hills when I was director of the Youth Congress at Greenwood Hills. And during Richard's stint in college, he also was inducted into Uncle Sam's Army. And he was stationed 12 miles from us at Indiantown Gap, Pennsylvania. And one night, this guy pulled into our home. And he was there many, many, many nights after that. He lived with us often. He stayed often overnight at our home. The day came when Richard was married. Their weddings and their weddings and then their weddings. But I'll never forget Richard Barlow's wedding in Yonkers, New York. I had the privilege of being the one to marry them, to unite he and his wife in marriage. But what stands out in Richard's wedding was the way he prayed before we went out for that wedding. I never heard a young man pray like Richard prayed. We all wept. His brother, who was best man, and I, we both wept. I never heard a young man pray for his mother, his brother, and sisters like Richard did. He had taken them and saw that each one was through college before he married. Richard dated girls, and I knew a few that he dated. One night we're coming home from a Bible conference in Erie, Pennsylvania. The first time I ever was in Erie. That's up in the northwest corner of Pennsylvania by the lake with that name. We were driving home and he said to me, Phil, I'm getting married. He said, I'm going to marry Arlene Hopper from Yonkers, New York. He said, she's not the prettiest girl that I've dated. But I'll tell you this, she's the one woman I want to be the mother of my children. And we had a long talk. But that afternoon of the wedding, when Richard prayed, after he was finished, he turned to me and he said something no one else ever said to me in my life. He said, Phil, you've been like a father to me and I want to thank you. He said, I came in and out of your home like a member of the family. And I want to thank you for the instruction I got and for the help you were to me since my own father died. And that was an honor that I received that day. And when Elisha cries out, when he sees Elijah being taken to glory, he says, my father, my father, the horsemen of the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. It had real meaning to him. For while he was not his earthly father, he was one that he looked to and he had received instruction from. And what a blessing Elijah had been to Elisha. Now, Elijah and Elisha both knew that the Lord was going to take him to glory. Isn't that something? He knew this was his last day on earth. The sons of the prophets knew it. He said, and they walked together. I like this. They knew that this is his last day on earth. He knew he was going home to glory. And they were walking together. Get the picture. And my sermon title this morning is Walking with Father. You see, Elijah and Elisha were both prophets to the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel was in a serious state of apostasy. It was from its very inception during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. They never knew genuine revival in the northern kingdom of Israel. It is to this kingdom that Elijah and Elisha were prophets. Now they were soon to be separated. This was the last day they were going to be together on earth. They're walking together. They walked together from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to Jordan, and then beyond the Jordan. Let's join them as they go from place to place. For these four places are very important. They're milestones in the history of Israel. They meant much to the ministry of these men, Elijah and Elisha as well. What do you know about Gilgal? Oh, I can hear them talking as they're at Gilgal. Do you remember what happened here? What a memorable place this is. This is the starting point of our final journey together. This was the final journey that Elijah and Elisha would take. This was their starting point. What does Gilgal mean? Well, it marked the place of the first stopping point of the children of Israel when they entered into the land of Canaan. It was there, by the way, you'll find that in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. We don't have time to turn to all these references. It was here that Israel pitched their tents for the first time in the land of Canaan. It was here that the reproach of Egypt was rolled away from the children of Israel. It was here that they set up the tabernacle with its brazen altar, its golden altar, its golden candlestick, its table of showbread, and its holy of holies with the Ark of the Covenant. Here is the first place in the land promised to Abraham that Israel set up the tabernacle. It was here that Israel first kept the Passover in the land. It was at this place that Israel ate the old corn of the land. They had a new diet. The manna from the wilderness journey stopped. God no longer gave them manna. They ate the old corn of the land. And now Elijah says to Elisha, you just stay here, and I'm just going to move on, and the Lord's going to take me home to heaven. But what did Elisha say? Oh, no. No, sir. He said, I'm not going to leave. So they walk to Bethel. They walk on to Bethel. Now, the word Bethel means the house of God. Oh, what a hallowed place Bethel was in the history of Israel. I can hear Elijah and Elisha talking about it. I can hear Elijah say to Elisha, what does Bethel mean to you? What a milestone it was in the history of our people. And I can hear Elisha say to Elijah, Bethel, oh, that's the place where Jacob, our father, he saw the vision, he heard the voice, and he made the vow. It was there that he saw the vision, Genesis 28, the first night he was away from home after he had stolen the blessing that his father intended for his older brother. He had stolen the blessing, and God showed him that vision of the ladder that reached from heaven to earth, and above the ladder was the Lord. And then he heard the voice, and God saying unto him, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. I am your God. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant to you. He saw the vision, he heard the voice, but it was there that he made the vow. And he vowed unto God. He was going away. He didn't know how long. But he'd come back to that place. And he made a vow unto God. And he gave God the best that he had. You know, a lot of times we give to God our leftovers. You know, we have some old clothes. You know, we won't use them anymore. They're just about gone. We'll send them to a missionary. You know, we give God our leftovers. Many times. Money that we don't, instead of giving God our first fruits of our increase and the things that God gives to us, you know, we give God our leftovers. Any money that we don't want to spend on this or on that, well, maybe we can give some to God. Our leftovers. Not Jacob. That night that he saw the vision, and that night that he heard the voice, the next morning he made a vow at Bethel. And he gave God the best he had. He took the oil that he needed for the journey in the Near East. The oil is so important. And he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. Oh, I can listen as father and son here talk about the ways of God and the blessing of God. But they move on. He said, Elisha, stay here at Bethel. Mine would be a good place to stay. It was a house of God. That's what the name meant. And then the sons of the prophets come and they inform Elisha that Elijah's going to be taken from you today. He's going to be taken today. But Elisha, they tried to deter Elisha from following on with him. It's quite interesting, you see. Elisha could not be parted from him. For when Elisha was called, and God used Elijah to call Elisha into the prophetic ministry, the first thing Elisha said, he said, I will follow you. And he never stopped following. Our Lord has a word to us who say to the Lord, we will follow him. He that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And you and I know so well there are many who start well at following the Lord, but they soon drift and they turn aside to other things. Never Elisha. Elisha cut a straight path. But Elijah says to Elisha, I have to go to Jordan. I'm going to Jordan. And you see, Jordan was quite interesting. Oh, what things they could say when they got to the Jordan. For the Jordan River was a border of the land of Canaan. It was a border of the land. Would Elisha get tired? It would be interesting to take a map and see how far they walked together that day. It was quite a journey. Would Elisha get tired of just walking from one place to another? Would he get tired of it? Would he continue? You see, the sons of the prophets, they stood afar off to see what would happen. They hoped they'd see Elisha translated to heaven. But they never got to see it. Only Elisha did. Only he saw this. You see, as Matthew Henry says, Elijah's translation was a beautiful transition from the earthly Canaan to the heavenly Canaan. Now the great question when he got to the Jordan River was, what can I do for you? When he got to the Jordan, Elijah took his mantle and he smote the waters. And as the Red Sea divided when Israel came out of Egypt, the waters of the Jordan divided. As the waters of the Jordan divided when Israel came out of Egypt so that Israel could enter their inheritance, the waters divided for Elijah. What was Elijah doing? He was leaving his inheritance. Elijah didn't go to heaven from Canaan. He didn't go to heaven from being in the land. He had testified in the land against the apostasy of the nation. And God took him outside of the land, outside the camp, as it were. And then from there, he translated him to glory. Before he went up, Elijah said to Elisha, what would you like me to do for you? And you see, with the power of a man who could divide the waters of the Jordan, asking a question, what can I do for you? What would your question be? How would you answer it? Well, Elisha looked at him and he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask him for the things that are lust dwell upon. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He asked that he may be a partaker of the glory of God. He wanted a double portion of his spirit. Now that's an interesting question. May I have a double portion of your spirit? Why? He said, I want the firstborn's portion. For you see, the firstborn received a double portion under the Old Testament economy. And he said, I want to be to you as a firstborn son. And I want a double portion of the spirit. And it's interesting, Elisha lived twice as long as Elijah did on the earth. And he performed twice as many miracles, if you count them, as Elijah did. A double portion of the Spirit. I like what Matthew Henry said. Elijah said, of course, to Elisha, that's a hard question. But this is what Matthew Henry said on this. Those are best prepared for spiritual blessings that are most sensible of their worth and their own unworthiness to receive them. How much do you value spiritual things? How much do you value them? You see, that's what is before us here. Of all the things that Elijah could have given Elisha, Elisha says, I want spiritual blessings. I want spiritual blessing. Oh, what a journey together. Now, Elijah testified against Israel because of their sin. And as he testified, he was translated. Now, there are a few things I'd like to draw from this morning. Elisha witnessed the translation of Elijah. He saw the chariots of God, the horsemen of God. And he saw the whirlwind. Friday was quite a day here. A day of whirlwinds, wasn't it? When God spoke to Job, he spoke to him out of the whirlwind. When we see the devastation that a whirlwind could make, Elijah to glory. And I tried to imagine what it was like standing there with a man that you had known so well. And to have that whirlwind come and just take him off. And as he went up, to have the mantle drop on you. the mighty power of God is manifested. And Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. But it's always so, friends. That which is devastating to the world and brings judgment on the world brings blessing to the people of God. The same Lord who saves today will judge the unbeliever in a coming day and send him to hell. The same thing that wreaks devastation over the earth took Elijah to glory in a whirlwind. Something to think about. The second thing I would remind you is this, that the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha, and God honored Elisha all the days of his life. And to me, the greatest miracle of Elisha happened after he died. For there was war with Moab. And Elisha's grave was there, and the Israelites were burying a man. And when the body, when they put, they took this grave and they put the body in the grave of Elisha, and when the dead body touched the bones of Elisha, he was raised from death to life. Talk about a miracle. Elisha had the mantle of Elijah. Now, Elisha took that mantle and he smote the waters of the Jordan and they were parted. And he cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" You know, we need to cry out that today. Where is the Lord God of our fathers? I'm afraid in this country spiritually that we are living today on off of the inheritance of our fathers. And I'm saying that kindly. When I was coming along as a boy, we had giants in the faith. Men who knew the book. They were giants. And we have been living off of the inheritance of these men, and I could name many of them. And we long to see them. Today we don't have giants, today we have superstars. That's what we have today in the church. For today is a day of entertainment. It isn't a day of spiritual food and spiritual feasting. And to a large extent, the church today is living off the inheritance of the fathers. And are we giving the fathers the just due that is theirs? We should ask the question today. I believe as Elijah and Elisha walked, they talked about the good old days, the past history of God's dealings with Israel. For that's what every place that they went to spoke of. Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, Jordan. All these places stood as a witness to the greatness of God and the deliverance of his people. And they're walking together. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Oh, what a blessing the mantle of Elijah was to Elisha. Elisha wanted the firstborn portion, and he got it. He got it. Why? He wanted that which was spiritual. Every one of us who has had a godly father and a godly mother, the thing that I remember most from my childhood or my parents was their godliness. What a heritage. If I could pass on to my children godliness, I will give them something that will not fade away in time. It will last for eternity. There's a hymn in our hymn book I think we should sing today. It's number 592. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. And then that another stanza about him. I want to read it. It's a precious stanza. It says, how great would be their children's fate if we, like them, could die for thee. 592. Let me read that stanza. The second stanza, faith of our fathers, or our fathers chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if we, like them, could die for thee. Let's stand together and sing this hymn, all three stanzas. Let's stand as Steve leads us.
Just one quick announcement that was forgotten this morning, and that is this coming Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, we're going to have a meeting for the Bible school, Vacation Bible School, planning the teachers and workers. So I hope that to find the help, you'll be along Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. Now we just sang faith of our fathers. We will be true. You have the faith of the fathers. Is your faith genuine? Do you know Christ? This is the issue. To know Him is to have life, to have it abundantly. So I can help you. Please remain behind and let us chat with you. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for Elijah and Elisha, for every godly father, and for every son and daughter that is in the faith and can look to their parents and say, thank you. You've taught me about Christ. You've taught me how to live. Oh, we